right. Hey, good evening, folks. Hopefully you've had a great day, and I'm glad that you all are back with us tonight for our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. And I do hope that you'll take some time when we're done with the Bible study to actually have some prayer with yourself if you're alone, or with your family. Just gather them around and just have a time of prayer together. A lot of praises in the prayer bulletin today. And just so you know, if I reference the prayer bulletin, my wife is actually generating that prayer bulletin and then emailing it to those members that we have on our email list. So if you will, check that, and you'll have an updated prayer bulletin then to go ahead and pray off of during the next week as we go through it. But there certainly are a number of praises in there, things that we were praying for a week ago. I would ask that you continue to pray for our community, and as well as everyone statewide and nationally with the whole virus situation that's taking place. We do have now two family members, two members of our church who has a family member that has been diagnosed with the virus. So please keep them in your prayers. They're both seniors. They're in that higher age category, and they definitely need your prayers. I would also ask you to pray for our governmental leaders and with the decisions that they need to be making and just adapting day by day to things as they change. They definitely need our prayer support. And I emphasize that word support there. We do need to be supporting them. We may not like everything they decide, but remember, God puts kings in place and takes kings out. And those that are in place now, those in leadership, are the ones that God has there. And so we need to pray for their wisdom. But ultimately, as I've tried to point out here in this last week, our hope is in Jesus, and that is what we need to be trusting in. For tonight, I want to take another step into this realm of discipling it by answering that question, who do we disciple? And I think the first place to start is just choose someone. So we're going to look into that kind of subcategory tonight, choosing someone to disciple. But first, let me describe two different people that exist in most churches. Okay, you have person number one. Person number one is a student of the Bible. They seem to know things about the Bible. They can explain truths and doctrines that are in the Bible. They just know a lot about the Bible. However, their life doesn't show really that they are a Christian, but they know their Bible. Okay, that's person number one. Now, person number two, they don't read their Bible much. They want to be good. They try to be good. They love others, but they would have a hard time explaining who Jesus is or what the church is. But they do try to live differently than others around them. They don't get into the Bible study thing, but they do focus on other people. Now, do either of these two people sound like you? Which one? Person one, we would say, should care more about people and living right, actually living what they say they are. Person two, who is living right or trying to live right, should care more about Bible truth. Actually, both of them should care more about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus loves truth and the lives of other people. Discipling should help both kinds of people, actually, to better follow Jesus. Remember, it means to be a disciple means to be a follower of Christ. A disciple is not someone who merely claims to follow Christ. He really does. Discipling is a relationship where we seek to do spiritual good for someone by initiating, teaching, correcting, modeling, loving, influencing. So, how do we do it? Well, we start with answering the question, who do we disciple? You obviously can't disciple the whole church. I can't disciple the whole church. No one can do that. Your time is limited just like mine. So let's look at 9 factors to help us decide who should we choose to disciple. And I'm going to start with the first one. I'm going to start with, I think, is probably the most important one. It should actually be where we start in choosing whom to disciple. Now, that first one is a family member. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, it says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Literally, the application there is as far as providing material needs for someone in your house. But there, the same application is made for providing for the spiritual needs of individuals in our house. And maybe perhaps one day the church will get a hold of that concept. It's not the youth pastor's job to train our children spiritually. It's not the Christian school's job to train our children spiritually. God gave that responsibility to the parents to do that. And so ideally, the first place we look for choosing someone to disciple should be our own house. We all possess a responsibility for the members of our family. That's especially the case if you live with those members. And even more so if you are a parent and have children in the home still. Start here with that. Now, after we do that, then we move on to the second step, which is the spiritual state. We should evangelize our non-Christian friends, absolutely. But black and white truth here, it's pointless to disciple them since God tells us the unsaved person doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. Unsaved persons, for them, when they hear biblical truth, God says it's foolishness to them. They're in fact, because they are spiritually dead, spiritual truths, they're not able to understand them. You want to disciple a Christian. Number 3, church membership. Now, since God established the community called the church, the next level on which to disciple is in the context of the church membership. We have a greater responsibility to help our own and be helped by them. That's everything we've been establishing so far in our foundations for discipling is this context of the church and what the church should be doing when we come together. It is, in essence, discipling each other. Hebrews chapter 10, provoking one another unto love and good works, encouraging each other to follow Christ more closely. In the church, members in the church. Here's why this is the third place to start. Because within the church, everyone is hearing the same teaching that we are hearing. And we see them weekly, or should be seeing them weekly, if we're in our place. My friend, let me just pause here for a moment. If you're listening and you're not faithful to gathering with your church family prior to the virus, and it's not because you can't, you just choose not to, then let me encourage you. You need to stop and consider how you are not obeying God's command in this area. And perhaps between now and the time this virus ends, when we do reconnect here at Grace, we'll see you here. Here's a fourth area, a fourth factor to consider, and that is gender. Now, in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, let me read those verses for you. It says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their minds, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." God recognizes that, He recognizes what maybe we don't when it comes to gender. He establishes the principle that the older women are to teach the younger women, and the older men are to teach the younger men. And I know I've referenced this before over the years here. It seems that in America, everything seems to be driven by the American dream. You work real hard, you put in your 20 years, your 30 years, you build your retirement, and then you retire. And unfortunately, many times what we see is people retire from their ministry in and through the local church. Now, I understand. Sometimes when we retire and we've reached that age, physically we're not the same as we used to be. Physically, we can't do the things that we used to do. But everyone, if they have breath, everyone that has breath can do this thing called discipling, can encourage others to follow. The older can still teach the younger what is right, what is wrong, how to be a good father, how to be a better husband. Men, we can do that no matter what our age. You say, and that's the same for our older ladies, too. You say, but wait a minute, I've made a lot of mistakes as a mother or father, as a husband or as a wife. I'm not the one to be teaching. I would say, oh, yes, you are, because you know all the ways not to do it. See, we've all learned, just we've gotten there in different ways. And God recognizes that when we do come together, gender is important. The younger women are taught by the older women. The younger men are taught by the older men. Number five, here it is. It's the word age. Now, normally, you would disciple somebody that's younger than you, in keeping with the passage that we just looked at in Titus. But Scripture also has examples of the younger discipling the older as well. Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Of course, individuals that are of the same age group. That's a possibility there as well. Here's number six. Different from you. In other words, choose someone that, or don't be afraid to choose someone that's different than you. Don't just look for someone who has all of your same likes, all of your same dislikes. As you look for someone to disciple, there's nothing wrong with middle-aged mothers befriending each other, or young married couples befriending each other, or single men in their 20s hanging out together and reading their Bibles together. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's common and that's normal. There are things that we do have in common with people. But consider this. When Paul taught about how the Jews and the Gentiles are one within the church, he erases all of those boundaries, all of those dividers that many times we put up within the walls of a church building. And he erases all of those. So consider spending time with college students, like the members of my class. I had shared with the church several weeks back, several months ago, actually. I had shared this with my class, a study that I had read about. It said that 60% of millennials would welcome someone asking them to read the Bible with them. Now, that I thought was shocking, because of what we're told about the age divide and how the younger people don't want anything to do with the older people. But consider spending time with a college student, someone younger than you. Consider someone with whom you may not have anything in common with at all. Because as we look at these things that we determine to be commonalities, common denominators, they really have nothing to do when you sweep them aside and two people go into God's Word and look to see what God's Word has to say. Number 7 is teachability. Psalm chapter 25 and verse 9, it says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way." And I guess the emphasis there in that psalm is on that word meek. God will guide, God will teach the meek. That's a picture of someone who's teachable. To approach someone with God's Word and say, "Hey, let me share with you what God's Word was. You can't tell me what to do. You mind your own business." They're not teachable. And I'm afraid it may be a poor use of our time to spend with someone who is not teachable. Or after a few attempts, a few times of trying to initiate something of a spiritual nature, if they're not interested, you move on to someone who is teachable, someone who wants to learn. There are many proverbs that talk about the scorner who scorns rebuke, who scorns instruction, who wants nothing to do with counsel. They can be a misuse of our time. You don't want to spend time with someone who thinks they have nothing to learn. I had a conversation with someone once before, and they said, "I'm not broke. I don't need to be fixed." Well, I think we all are broke. We all need to be fixed. So I guess the guiding principle here with this point is teach the teachable. Number 8. A faithfulness to teach others. Now, as we're looking for someone to disciple, that we're going to invest our time in. Our time is valuable, okay? And these are just some guidelines to help us choose who we're going to disciple. This 8th one here, we want to really focus our time on someone who's going to be faithful to teach others. As we teach them, they're going to be faithful to continue to teach others. We want disciples who are willing to disciple others to disciple others. Now, here's the last one, number 9. Proximity and schedules. Okay, this just comes down to geographic, demographics, those kinds of things there. It may seem a bit unbiblical to approach this matter, but the Bible is very sensitive to time and our busy schedules. We are to be wise stewards of everything that God has given to us. Generally, we apply that to the area of finances. But also, we need to apply that to the area of time. God has given us a limited amount of time. No matter what we do, how hard we try, we can never get any more time than what God has given us every day. And we need to manage that time very wisely. Look what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And Paul is inputting here a clarification, a boundary, if you would, as far as doing good unto all men, doing good things for other people, as we have opportunity to do that. We need to keep the rest of our life balanced. Our families always need to come first. Our church needs to be in that mix as well. And as we extend out from there, making sure that those are right, as we have opportunity, then we look to those who are of the household of faith and the discipling and the encouraging. Now, let me just warn us all here, okay? Let's not use this verse as our escape from discipling, as our out, our way of getting out of doing this. "Oh, I've got my family and I've got responsibilities at church and work. I just don't have any time." Well, I think it's interesting as I look at this coronavirus issue. We have a lot of time on our hands, and I'm hearing that more and more from people. You know, we're about a week and a half into this now, and the initial shock of our newfound time, you know, is kind of wearing off. Everyone has binged watch to their heart's content, and they're like, oh, what do we do now? We've got this extra time. We can't go anywhere. Our kids don't have these commitments, and we don't have these other things, and we can't go there. What do we do? I think God is showing us that we do have time. Prior to the virus, we had the same amount of time. We just chose to use it for different things. And God is saying, wait a minute. Come on back. Folks, now is a good opportunity for us to begin reaching out to other people. It's just a matter of wisdom, really, when it comes down to how we spend our time. Look for those people that have schedules that align with yours. Now, if you work at night, probably not a good idea to choose someone who works during the day. It makes sense, right? It's kind of common sense wisdom, actually. The last one that I want to give you, is actually number 10. It's not in your notes, but it should probably come first before even the first one that I gave you. And I didn't give it to you because it's kind of a given, actually. Here it is. Pray. As you begin praying about who God wants you to disciple, He'll bring someone across your path. He'll bring someone to your mind. And you'll wonder, is this the one? Is this the one that I should reach out to? Use these factors that I've given you, these 9 factors. But pray for wisdom. Pray that you would do, and I'm going to add this prayer to it as well. Not just pray for wisdom, but pray that you would do more than just pray about it. There's a lot of things in the Christian life that we pray about doing and we really shouldn't. We just need to do it. And so we pray to ask God to help me do it. Get me off a dead center and help me be obedient in this area. Be intentional. Just start encouraging other people to follow Christ. I know right now it's a little difficult with the way our culture is with the virus. But one thing we can do is use the phone. We can do that on the phone. We can talk to people. We can encourage them. We can call someone and just encourage them. Share some praises. Okay, if you call someone, make this a point. Do not talk about the virus. Just call them and say, here's what I'm thankful for. What are you thankful for? I was thinking about you. I've been praying for you. Can we pray together before we hang up this phone and just have a word of prayer over the phone? You can do that. Be intentional. Start discipling. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I pray that you would, everyone that's in the Grace Baptist membership, Lord, that you would lay someone on their heart, on their mind, even tonight, on who you want them to just reach out to with a phone call even, and just take it one step at a time. Lord, God, help us to be intentional. Help us, Lord, to not just hear this truth, agree with this truth, say we need to do this truth, but then do nothing with it. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified by the steps that many people are going to be taking from our church in this area of discipling. In Jesus' name, amen.